Hello and welcome to Mundo Albiceleste's podcast. And last time Argentina played and we had the podcast to recap the match, we were all sad, we were all in shock. We were gathering here after Argentina got hammered 6-1 to Bolivia. This time around, we won, we defeated Colombia, we got all 3 points, and there are still a lot of people who are in shock and not as happy as some others, but here we are with John in Malaysia to discuss everything as usual here on Mundo Albiceleste's podcast. Hello, John.
Hello, Seba, and hello to all our friends at Mundo Albiceleste. Yeah, I mean, it was a real surprise to see how we actually played, but I guess there is a logical explanation behind it, which we will like to discuss as the show goes on.
Well, yeah, the first thing I want to say is that a lot of managers will tell you, a lot of football managers will tell you that the World Cup qualifiers somehow are even more difficult than the World Cup finals. I don't know if I agree with that 100%, but when you think of a match like the one we played yesterday and how desperate Colombia were for a point or three or all 3 points, which I don't think they really came to Buenos Aires to get. I think they came here to try and get at least a point and keep themselves alive in the fight for that all-important fifth place that will allow them to play a playoff match with the fourth qualifier from the CONCACAF region. And you kind of think that notion and that theory that says that the World Cup qualifiers are even more difficult than the World Cup finals, it kind of has some truth to it. And especially when it comes to teams like Argentina or Brazil, when Carlos Tevez said yesterday after the match that every team play to the best of their abilities whenever they face Argentina or Brazil. They try harder than in any other match they have. And I think that's very true. And a proof to that is that Bolivia couldn't even score a single goal at home against Venezuela. And so I think we should consider all those things when we analyze this game. And I don't think we'll be seeing Argentina playing pretty in these World Cup qualifiers under the current state of things. In the past, we did it with Bielsa, but that was because we got off to a great start and we were growing in confidence and perhaps because the manager also had more time to work with the players. And I'm not being apologetic of Diego and I'm not being blind because I know we didn't play very good football or we didn't play good football at all. But I'm kind of always tend to look on the bright side and I'm saying I will take a win playing badly any day of the week.
Well, yeah, I have to agree with you on that, Seba. I mean, at the same time, I'll agree to all our friends in Mundo because it wasn't like a game that where, you know, it kind of like rocked our world, you know, the way we wanted to see how Argentina would play every time. But I guess for me, the logical explanation was it's more on the human factor. I mean, let's understand that this group of players are just coming to play for the national team after a horrible nightmare in La Paz. A lot of things are at stake here. You know, they are trying, they want to really put their nightmare behind them. And I think a lot of this, the pressure was on them at the same time, you know, and I guess it was clearly evident that it was clearly can be seen on the field the way they were playing, you know. And so I guess, you know, at the end of the day, even though it wasn't really a beautiful football match, but 3 points is still important because as you can see right now in the table, you know, after some surprise results that we had in the in this round of qualifiers, we are actually just 2 points behind Brazil, even though we are in fourth position, but we are just 2 points behind them. And I guess at this moment of time, you can say that any win, we will take it. It doesn't matter whether is it beautiful football or ugly football.
Yeah, and especially if you look at the table, you also need to look at the upcoming matches. And you have the upcoming match between Brazil and Paraguay. They are both with 24 points, and they are top of the standings right now, but they will play against each other. So there is a chance for Argentina to go top of the standings, even under the current state of things. Because if Brazil and Paraguay, if they draw in Recife in Brazil, and Argentina beats Ecuador away, we could sit with 25 points together with Brazil and Paraguay. Of course, we need Chile to lose their match, which is highly unlikely after they won quite convincingly in Paraguay on Saturday night.
Yeah, I guess maybe what you're saying is true. But I know, I mean, Paraguay and Brazil will definitely kill each other off. I'm sure they are not going to play for a draw. And Brazil is at home. I would kind of expect that Brazil would want to win that match. And for us, I think at the moment right now, let's forget about the table. Just focus on this trip to Quito, which of course, again, you know, it's all about the altitude. It will be the most talked about subject once again. And I'm sure a lot of the football pundits or even the football fans from a neutral point of view will be thinking like, is it going to be another disaster in La Paz? That's the last thing I think I would want at this moment.
Well, yeah, and that's another point I wanted to touch. And it's about how important these 3 points were last night. I know there are a lot of people still frustrated, and even I was a little bit frustrated with the kind of game we played. But at the end of the day, you have to just think about these 3 points we got and how important they were to separate ourselves from the teams that are behind us. And especially with Uruguay losing at home, we desperately needed these 3 points at home to give us a bigger cushion and a bigger margin of error. I mean, even if we lose against Ecuador, we'll still be fourth in the standings, and we'll still be with our fate in our hands. So that's one thing that I wanted to say, and I think it's perhaps the most important thing right now on the way to the World Cup. Then when we get to the World Cup, of course I will expect to play beautiful football, but of course the manager and his staff will have more time to work with the players, and it will be a whole different story.
Yeah, true. So let's talk about the players. I mean, let's look at some of the individuals that were on the field in that match against Colombia. In your opinion, Seba, who do you prefer to be the man of the match? Who do you think was the best player on the field? Even though it's hard to say there was any particular player that played so brilliantly, but in your opinion, who was the best?
Well, I said it in the comments box, and I think it's a... In my opinion, it was Javier Mascherano. And it's, you know, every time Argentina plays, I'm sitting there watching the game, hoping that one of the forwards will get the man of the match award sort of pick. And I'm hoping for Messi to score a couple of goals. I'm hoping for Kun Agüero also to score and settle down, and Carlos Tevez to get a reward for all his efforts. But then, when you have to highlight someone from like Mascherano or some of our defenders, that's when you know Argentina didn't quite play a great match. I mean, I'm sure Mascherano himself is thinking that he wouldn't want to be the man of the match in any game. He would prefer the same thing I prefer, that one of the attacking guys will get it, because if Mascherano becomes the man of the match, it means that we had to rely a lot on his ball-winning abilities, and we had to rely on him chasing the opposition all over the park. But again, if it wasn't for him on Saturday night, I think we would have suffered a lot more than we did. And I think it was partly because, as Diego accepted at a press conference after the game, he got the tactics wrong, and he tried to make amends by sending Zanetti in on for Gago in the second half, and I think we improved a lot in the second half without ever being fantastic, And I think Mascherano was the reason why we didn't suffer that much, especially with his display in the second half. I think he's a great support for the rest of the midfielders and a great helping hand for the defense as well.
Yeah, kind of have to agree with you that Mascherano was, the connection between our midfield and our very weak defense. But I also like to highlight on another aspect of our team performance yesterday was Juan Sebastian Veron. I did see some moment of brilliance from him. He did make some wonderful passes, which sadly that the likes of Tevez or even Messi, for that matter, couldn't actually read those passes. I mean, if they did read it well, they will be on their way, just one-on-one with the goalkeeper, and that's it. All they need to do is try to finish the move and score the goal. And I think that I think that some praise should be given to Veron because he did try extremely hard to prove himself that he does fit in the playmaker role for our team. Although he may not be the best right now. I mean, I'm sure there are other names I did come across. Some was mentioning about D'Alessandro. Some were still hoping for Roman to come back. But I think in this match, Veron did 110%, whatever he could, to make sure that, there was some moment of brilliance, but it was just wasn't read carefully by our forward lines.
Yeah, and you have to think about this aspect that I think is very important when it comes to Verón. This was the first time he played at River Plate at home for the World Cup qualifiers, and he didn't got the rejection from the crowd. I mean, he wasn't booed or jeered, and I think that's important because it means that people are finally turning around the corner and realizing that he has been a great servant for our national team for a number of years, despite everything that happened and all the controversy from the past, and that elimination from the World Cup in the first round in 2002, that everybody seemed to point at Verón as the main culprit. And I think that's another important thing. I mean, how can you expect a player to play to the most of his ability if every time he's on the ball, you hear people whistling or saying stuff or being uncomfortable with. So I think that's probably the most important thing about Veron last night, that he actually got applauded a few times, and I think he had a good game. But what you mentioned about him or other players not linking up quite well with him, I think that comes with more minutes.
Okay, now let's take a look a bit at our forward lines. And as we know that Diego started with the three little guys up front. And personally, for me, I didn't quite agree with his decision. Okay, I would have preferred Sergio Aguero and Lionel Messi there instead of Carlos Tevez because I simply doubt about Tevez's form or his confidence at the moment. Because he rarely plays, first 11 football for his club, which is at Man United. I would have loved to see if Diego Milito was played in that center role, considering the fact that he just came back from a outstanding season in Italy with Genoa. But somehow or other, I think maybe Tevez is the one that I think was played amazingly well. I mean, he did show some brilliant move, and there were times when people said that he couldn't run or he couldn't dribble, and there you go. He sort of like was listening to all this conversation and shows that he still, got what it takes. As for Lionel Messi, I think there's nothing much I can say about him. I think he played the best football he had played. Let's keep reminding ourselves. I mean the fact that in Barca, he trains week in, week out. Here with the national team, he comes like every once in 3 months. But then again, whatever he did yesterday was truly amazing. If only Tevez and Messi had just that one brilliant moment, I'm sure Milito, when he came in the second half, he would have scored a couple of few goals.
I still think the three little guys up front are not working as well as they should be working together. I don't know if they're used to different systems playing for their own clubs. I don't know if their styles are not quite compatible, but I'm not seeing that they're working as well as they should be based on their names or their ability to play. And I'm thinking Tevez is a little bit wasted on the left, and I don't think he's able to have an impact on the game playing that wide. And I know for Man United he plays in different positions, and sometimes he plays more in the middle or a little bit deeper. But I think he's very far from the box, and that he struggles playing on the left and with no company whatsoever. So sometimes we saw Tevez yesterday tracking back to defend, trying to help out the team gaining the ball back, but not being too busy getting involved in the offensive game. So I think Diego should take a look at this structure he's playing and the forward line. And I'm sure for the game against Ecuador, we won't see the three little guys up front. And that's mainly because Agüero is injured. I don't know if he would have continued playing with the three of them, regardless of the rival or the venue. So I don't know who's going to be playing in Ecuador. We will talk about it later. But as it stands, I don't think the three little guys up front had a good game playing together. As for Messi, well, how many kicks did he get? I mean, every time he was on the ball, somebody would try to chop his left off. And that's something he's been dealing with for a long time now. And I'm hoping it won't have an impact in his career in the future. But the way he's been treated by the rivals, I think he needs a little bit more protection from the referees, because they need to protect the players, play beautiful football and attract the crowd. Regarding his performance, he always tried something. Every time he was on the ball, he was moving forward and trying to create an attack and taking on one or two or three opposing players. So I think that's a very important thing. Some people say he fades out from matches and he disappears every now and then. But the important thing is he kept the level of intensity. He always tried to make himself available for a pass and always tried to go forward. And that's something that should be praised. Enough with this Argentina-Colombia and the 3 points we got, and let's move ahead and talk a little bit about the other matches from the region. With a reminder that we are recording this before Ecuador takes on Peru on Sunday, so we'll only be able to talk about the games that took place on Saturday. Which game do you want to start with, John?
Well, of course, you know, it's always, I think Uruguay-Brazil was the biggest match in this week's World Cup qualifier. You know, there's a big amount of history between these two sides, you know, that I could remember that goes all the way back to the 1950 World Cup. And of course, you know, in recent times, it's always been a game with full of high passion, high drama. But I was pretty much surprised by the result that I saw, because Brazil winning 4-0 away to Uruguay. I was thinking like, man, what the hell happened to Uruguay? You know, I thought at home, you know, when they play against Brazil, they always seems to have that one great chance, they convert it and they will defend all the way, but just didn't happen this time.
Well, and I wasn't alive the last time Brazil won in Uruguay, which was in 1976. So I can say with confidence that I never saw Brazil winning in Uruguay, so until Saturday, that is. And I was lucky to watch the game. Lucky because it was a tense game. It was interesting. It was full of passion, like every time these two play together. It's a big derby match, and they hate each other. And they represent different styles of football. So it was interesting to see that for once, it was Brazil who played with the defensive mode And then they went to Montevideo playing with four defenders, three defensive midfielders, and then Kaká, Robinho, and Luis Fabiano ready to counterattack. And when those three are riding up the field, I mean, that's a scary sight for any team. And this Brazilian side, I mean, people in Brazil are still not happy with Dunga. And if I was Brazilian, God forbid, I wouldn't be happy either. I wouldn't be happy either. So this is why Brazilians always have always played with an attractive kind of play that they themselves known as Jogo Bonito, which means beautiful game. But under Dunga, they never play like that. And they are a side that will counterattack. And they are a side that are quite happy to defend, to sit back and defend, and then hit you on the counterattack. And that's why, that's exactly what they did. And in my opinion, they have the best goalkeeper in the world right now, Julio Cesar. And he had another terrific game on Saturday. And what he did against Ecuador a couple of matches ago was also amazing. And he kept Brazil in the game until they got a late equalizer. So now they are basing their strength on the defensive aspect of the game, and they hit you on the counterattack. And that's one thing that really worries me, because if Argentina continues to play this offensive style, we will really play a game that will suit Brazil to perfection, as it happened in the final of the Copa America. They scored the first goal in the first couple of minutes, and then they just waited for us to attack them, to hit us back in the counterattack, and that's what they did, and they completely destroyed us. So I will say that this is a result that wasn't quite clearly with a difference of four goals. I mean, Uruguay enjoyed the most chances in the first half. They were unlucky not to score. And the goalkeeper made a terrible blunder. Goalkeeper Vieira, who plays for Villarreal, he made an absolute blunder for the first goal, and that was game over. And because Brazil then took all the chances they got, and that's it. But I don't think there is a difference of four goals between this Brazil and this Uruguay, who was undefeated at home, by the way. So now Brazil will host Paraguay, and they will be quite happy to do it with 3 points in the bag from their visit to Uruguay.
Yeah, I mean, if you look at the goal scorers for Brazil yesterday, two of them were actually defenders. One is Daniel Alves. And I think that, you know, he being starting at the right back, you can expect him that he will move forward very often, because that's one of his speciality, as he always does for Barca. And he always kind of, whenever I watch him play, he reminds me a lot of what Cafu was during his prime when he was playing for Roma.
Yeah, and to think they have a substitute for him in Maicon. I mean, they are probably the best two right backs. And then they have Rafael playing for Man United, so the future is guaranteed for them at right back. And then left back, we thought he was finished, and he had a great game in the Champions League final. I'm talking about Silvinho, and he's not even considered to be in this Brazilian side. Then they have Fabio as well, the twin brother of Rafael, also playing for Man United. And to think none of those guys I'm mentioning played at left back for them on Saturday. Instead, it was Clever, who plays for Internacional of Porto Alegre. Well, you have to think they have the as always, as they always had, they had the best factory of right back and left back in the world. So I'm kind of concerned, because they have a great defense, also in the center backs with Lucio and Juan, who are probably the best in the region right now. It's kind of scary. It's a scary prospect that to face them in our next home game. We'll see what happens, but we will have a lot of time to discuss that in future podcasts. Let's move on and let's talk about another game that I didn't have the chance to watch, which was Venezuela winning, surprising everyone, and winning at La Paz at the altitude 1-0. What is your first reaction to that?
Well, it's exactly the result that I actually wanted because, I was still hoping that Venezuela, being, the only country from South America, has not made it to the World Cup. Maybe this could be their opportunity. But in the beginning, yeah, they were playing in La Paz against Bolivia. I was thinking like, okay, maybe I need to do away with this game. Maybe hopefully they can win some other matches, probably their home games. But surprisingly, they took 3 points in the altitude, and guess what? They're only like 1 point away from Uruguay in that fifth position for the playoff against North and Central America region. And I'm just keeping my fingers crossed. Hopefully, we might see them in South Africa.
Yeah, well, and now they face Uruguay next for the next week. So they are host to Uruguay on the 10th of June, and if they win, they will most likely hold on to that fifth spot, and they will keep their chances alive to qualify for the first World Cup ever. Another game that I watched. It was this clash between Paraguay at home and Chile, and I kind of thought that Chile had a chance because, having watched Paraguay play lately, I don't think they're quite they're playing with quite a good form they had in the first few matches of this qualifying campaign. So and Chile, on the other hand, they have shown that they can win away from home, and they can score goals, and they are not scared to go forward. And under Bielsa, they had such a great structure, and they are one of the teams that had really surprised me. And they are also, if the World Cup qualifying campaign came to an end today, they will be going to South Africa, and I think they deserve to.
Well, I think you could probably say that Chile will be there because, I mean, the situation between the top four is very tight, and I think a lot has to do with the result that Chile got it from Paraguay yesterday. And come to think of it, the Chileans, they love Bielsa there. I mean, I have a friend who lives in Santiago, and he tells me that El Loco is like the man there, and as compared to how we as the fans of Argentina always view him as someone who tries to implement total football with our national team. So it was a great result for Chile. I'm kind of thinking right now from how I see the table, although there is still a long way to go, we still have like 5 matches to play. You could probably say that the top four that we see right now are going to be there. It's just a matter of positioning.
Yeah, and if the Chile ends up being first in the region, because by looking at the remaining fixtures, they have three games at home, and they will be playing at home against Bolivia, Venezuela, and Ecuador. They have a difficult trip to Brazil, but they might as well be already qualified when they have to go to Brazil. And they're not afraid to play away. They have won the last two games away from home. They defeated Peru and Paraguay on Saturday. They only lost to Argentina and Ecuador in the away conditions. So I'm thinking we are looking at a team that will be heading to South Africa if things don't change dramatically. And on Saturday, they completely dominated Paraguay, and they won quite convincingly. This Chilean side, they're really one to watch right now. And as I said before, I think they're going to South Africa. Okay, that was it with the recap of this first round of the two that will be played in a space of 1 week. And so it's time to move on now, and let's talk a little bit about what do we expect for our team to be against Ecuador. What are your initial thoughts on this? Should we go for it? Should we play a little bit more defensive and try to hit Ecuador on the counterattack? What are your thoughts?
Well, actually, my initial reaction after what I've seen from the Argentina versus Colombia game, I'm kind of actually a little bit worried about this game against Ecuador. And I think, as I mentioned before, you know, once again, it's the trip to the altitude. And judging from, I mean, from what I see on Diego's previous experience, I'm kind of thinking that he might make some changes in the first starting lineup, and probably give those players who are based in Argentina, and including the one that are based in Mexico, which is Cristian Jimenez, because these players are probably the ones that have the best experience of playing in the altitude as compared to our European-based players. So I guess there might be some changes there. As for the performance, I'm not so sure whether going defensive is the good idea, because come to think of it, against Bolivia, we were kind of defensive and we were kind of trying to play on the counter, and it didn't work for us. So, yeah, for me, it's a little, quite hard for me to say right now exactly what to expect from this match. I'm just hoping that there will be some positive outcome from this game. Even a point will do for me.
Well, maybe I can help you out with by telling you a few things that Maradona said in the press conference after the Colombia game. Maybe he gave us a few hints, and from there we can start making our speculations. He said that after the press conference, he was asked who was going to get the cap times armband, and he said, "I'm going to give it to Heinze." And I know, yeah, well, don't kill yourself, don't jump out the window if you're listening to this, but because right after he said that, he said, "That is if Heinze plays, because," and now you can get closer to the window again, "I want Heinze to play against Brazil, so I don't want to risk him getting a yellow in Ecuador and then missing out on the game against Brazil." He said the same about Messi. He said that he definitely wants Messi to play at home against Brazil, and he's playing with a yellow, so I think it's very unlikely for Messi to get a yellow if he doesn't talk to the referee or dive or protest. It's not that like he will get a yellow for a hard foul or anything. He needs just to avoid time wasting and talking to the referee, as I said, and all those things. But you never know. I mean, he could get a yellow and then you miss your best player for the game against your arch rival, so it's kind of a tricky situation for him in that regard. And we will already be without Mascherano and Agüero. He said, Diego said that after the match, and he said he's going to wait until the doctor and part of his staff tell him how the players ended the game, in what conditions they ended the game, whether they have minor knocks or they're ready to go. So, like you, John, I'm thinking there will be a lot of changes, and I'm also thinking that Diego will now take the opportunity to change the formation and not to play with the three little guys up front, because he's forced to do. That will be the main question. What if Agüero was ready to go? Would Diego have played Agüero anyway, or try a different system because the altitude and the rival would ask him to? So I'm sure we'll see a lot of changes, and I'm almost sure that we'll not play with a back line of three men like we did against Colombia. That goes without saying. But the rest is kind of a mystery right now, because of this situation in which we have a lot of players with a yellow card, and also because Diego tested a whole different starting lineup during the week prior to the Colombia game, and we might as well see that team playing on Wednesday. We'll never know. I think we need to wait, and of course, you will hear everything about this team news on Mundo Albiceleste, as always.
Well, I guess, you know, we just have to wait and see, like what you said, Seba. But I'm kind of hoping that maybe Diego Melito might be given the opportunity to start in this match. And I feel that every past national team coach has been too harsh on him, and hopefully this time Diego might consider him for this trip to Ecuador.
Well, yeah, I kind of think the same way, but I, even considering that I'm a big fan of Diego Milito and everything that he can do, I'm also thinking that I don't know if this will be the perfect game for him to start. And here's the reason why. If we play, and it will all depends on the kind of game we play. If we play a little bit more conservative and we defend a little bit more and try to hit Ecuador on the break, I don't think Diego Milito could be the main guy for to do that job. And I think, for example, Lisandro López or Gonzalo Bergesio are two players that are more adapt to those situations, to attack the opposition on very quick breaks and counterattacks, and to deal, in the case of Bergesio, to deal with two or three defenders and take them with a lot of physical power. I think it's a game that it's more adapted to those two guys in particular. But I will also be happy to see Diego Milito taking the field from the start and given the opportunity. We'll see how it goes, and it will all depends on how Diego will build up the midfield as well. We'll need to see if we'll play with two defensive midfielders to cover for Mascherano's absence, because Mascherano gives you that advantage. You can play him as the lone defensive midfielder and he can deal with the entire pitch on his own. But when he's not there, you need to probably take precautions. Maybe using Gago and Sebastian Battaglia will be another option that Diego will be happy to use. So we'll see how it goes. And maybe Maxi Rodriguez will be welcome back to the team. Zanetti playing as right back. Maybe Emiliano Papa will be included, with De Michelis playing in center of defense together with Heinze. Or if Diego wants to preserve Heinze, we could see Burdizzo or even Cata Diaz.
Yeah, I mean, Javier Mascherano's, his absence is going to be huge for us. But I'm also might kind of think, look at it from a positive aspect, that Sebastian Battaglia, who plays for Boca Juniors, and you know, as you know, Boca involved in the Copa Libertadores, Copa Sudamerica, they do travel quite frequently to play in this sort of environment. So maybe that could work in our advantage in some way. I'm not saying that he's up to the task as what Mascherano can offer for us, but there is some positive aspect that we can see from these changes. And as for the defense, well, if we're going to go on a back four, you have to say that Zanetti must come back at the right back position. Well, there's no option for us in left, so I guess it's going to be Emiliano Papa. About Hinze being given the captain armband, well, I don't know, but I can tell you right now that I'm not close to the window just yet.
Yeah, well, same here. Well, no, I actually had it quite close because it's quite cold here in Buenos Aires. But anyway, I got the message. Okay, I think that's it. That sums it up for us in this new edition of Mundo Albiceleste podcast. I hope you have enjoyed this conversation, and see you next time.
Okay, bye-bye.